MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Wandile Shalobe, Chief Economist at the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa. Wandile, always appreciate the time. I want to start off looking back, but let's start with foot and mouth disease, and more perhaps importantly, the plan to vaccinate the entire herd. I'm not sure what the phraseology is for foot and mouth. Huge task, but a massive milestone for the industry potentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's necessary, Simon, because if you look at the South African farming economy, about half of it is livestock and mainly cattle. So whenever we're struggling with these diseases, the impact of that tends to be felt across the industry. Now, our national herd of cattle is about 12 million. Wow. And of course, about 7.2 million of that is in the commercial production. Mm-hmm. The logistics of getting through all of this, but also ensuring that we have sufficient vaccine supply. These are all of the aspects that will be difficult. But the vaccination has started in some of the other areas and continuing. But I think this is going to be a momentous task. And remember, it's not going to happen just 1 year. We'll probably do 2 or 3 years until we are completely clean.
I hear you. 12 million, that is a giant number. But it does mean that in a couple of years' time, is foot and mouth then, once we've vaccinated the entire herd, is foot and mouth then something that is behind us as a country?
It will certainly be behind us, especially if then we place the strict controls after that. Because remember, foot and mouth disease in general comes from buffaloes, which means then are on the wild animal side. So the movement of livestock, especially in those provinces that are bordering some of the wildlife reserves, we need to be careful about that. But also on the borders up north, so that there's no cattle that are either crossing from Zimbabwe or any other country without actually making sure that our borders are correct. So it's almost like a task that the Department of Agriculture carries, but one would nudge that the public works in as far as the general fencing, they do their part to collaborate here and the police.
Yeah, gotcha. We also, and I was chatting with Gary Arnold from Astro, the last set of results, we're moving forward with vaccinating chickens. He said at the time that they'd done only about 5% of their flock, but they'd, just as results came out, got permission for potentially doing another 30%. Again, important because avian flu sort of pops up and decimates the industry for a while.
Absolutely. And I mean, you remember the stories of potential shortages of eggs in 2023. Those were all of the challenges. And unlike the foot and mouths, the avian influenza has a much more difficult impact, as one stock may die in the process. So vaccinating and making sure that you are in place, it's a good approach. And importantly, Simon, I mean, this is not, we're not the first country to actually do this. In cattle, if you think about Brazil, Argentina, they've been down this path, and many others when it comes to poultry. And we've seen since 2014 that the occurrence of these diseases is much more faster nowadays. So all of this pushes us to this situation then where we have to actually vaccinate in order to ensure that our livestock and agriculture in general is in healthy footing.
Yeah, absolutely. I take your point on that. Let's touch on tariffs. And I mean, AGOA, as I understand, is essentially over. But the US has removed tariffs on some products that are going from South Africa into the US. What is our current status? Notwithstanding, it could change quickly. But where are we right now with the tariff scenario?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Liberation Day tariffs is 30%. And of course, with the AGOA reprieve, we were able to stick at that number. Now, in the absence of AGOA, that means that South Africa, at a basic start, before you apply the Liberation Day tariffs, we have a base tariff of about 3.4% if you look at the average most favored nations approach. And then that means then without an AGOA, our tariffs would raise to, on average, about 33.4% that we would face in the US instead of just the 30% of Liberation Day tariffs. But the positive of it is the fact that today, there's still no formal communication that is coming out of the US as to where AGOA is. I would almost say that AGOA remains, as of December 2025, really in a state of limbo until the US administration provides us a guidance. If then we are not included, then we will be at the 33.4%. If we are included, we'll remain with these Liberation Day tariffs. The US market, important, of course, for South Africa, and more so our friends in the auto industry and many others, but in farming, that is about
4% of our farming exports. So far, we've been able to see solid activity to the US. Farmers took advantage of the 90-day pause to an extent that in Q2, we saw that our agricultural exports to the US were up significantly, about 26% year on year. We exported, and then in the third quarter, we saw that they cooled off a little bit by 10% from what we had seen in the previous quarter. So all in all, for a year, I think the numbers will still look fairly well when we have the full year data.
And is there, I mean, it can't be easy, but is there potential, if there is a tariff remains at a plus 30%, to find other markets? I mean, it's easy for me to sit here and suggest that. I imagine it's a challenge, but it must be something industry is looking at. I know the minister has been, he's been to Asia, he's been to a couple of places looking for markets for some of our agri products.
I mean, I think what we are blessed with is because the South African agricultural exports in general are pretty much diverse. I mean, we are 50% into the African continent or so. And then you have the EU, about 21%. Then you have Asia and the Middle East, amongst others. The key thing then is about how do you increase the volume to some of these markets. Asia, Middle East remains very attractive because of their potential upside in building those markets, while Africa and the EU are more about maintenance of what we have. So the effort is there. But of course, as you say, it's not overnight because there are relationships that are there. And there's a reason why the folks in the Citrus style export a lot to the US. Mm-hmm. So there are all of those things. But nonetheless, I mean, the diversification strategy and the conversation around that is underway. And it's something that we must power through, regardless of what happens in the tariffs, because we still have so much production that will be coming up in from the farms in the next years. And we will be looking at saying, where do we export all of these products? So diversification lays the foundation for that.
Gotcha. How's 2026 looking, and particularly in terms of rains? You know, anecdotally, I'm here in Joburg. We've got lots of rains. The Vaal Dam is full, but of course, it's a much broader country than that. What are indications for next year's crop season?
2026 is looking to be one of the excellent season. 2025 was good. Mm. We were supported by La Nina rains, which delivered record crops. I mean, soybean, it's a record crop. Maize, second largest on record. And in fruits and vegetables, really excellent harvest. We think that going into next year, we will continue in that momentum, more so as farmers are also increasing the area they plant. And I think the performance of the sector will be even much more stronger because the vaccination would have been long underway, supporting even the cattle industry. And then that gives us a much more solid recovery than the 2025, which we call it as an uneven recovery when one look at the sectorial basis.
I get your point. And I suppose there's sort of many moving parts here. Record crops means potentially prices coming down. But the truth is, you've got the record crop. Farmers have also got the benefit. I mean, diesel prices are lower than they have been in previous years. So a good time to be a farmer at this point.
A good time, depending on what commodity you are in.
Yeah.
But I would say, all things considered, we're still in a really, really reasonably good period in the South African agriculture. That's 2025. And I think we will continue in that momentum going into next year. And of course, for consumer, we think that even the moderating food price inflation is a theme that we'll take and continue in going into next year.
Okay, good news as well. We'll leave that there. Wandile Shilobo, Chief Economist, Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa. Appreciate the time. Give your money the return it wants without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.